This is Creek Talk, where we talk about the fundamentals of Christianity, brought to you by Caney Creek Apostolic Tabernacle. I'm your host, Michael Flores, and I'm excited to be back on the podcast and headed into 2023. This year, we will have a bit of a new focus for this series. Last season, we noticed that people want to know more about the foundations of Christianity and what we believe as Pentecostals. One of the best podcasts we had was with Brother Josh Harden, our education director here at Caney Creek, where he broke down the death, burial, and the resurrection of Jesus. So as we define our direction this year, we will be looking at the fundamentals of Christianity and really the building blocks of our faith. But as we look forward into 2023, we wanted to take a look back first and look at the things that worked and the things that didn't. So I asked Pastor Joshua Cathy and Assistant Pastor Ray Copeland to come on and talk about a few things from their perspective that we need to take into 2023 and a few things we need to leave behind. Pastor Cathy, I'm excited to have you guys back.
Oh, it's great to be back, Brother Flores. We are excited to be here, like always.
And Brother Copeland, you are no stranger here. I'm excited to have you back on the podcast.
It's always good to be here. It's always fun and exciting.
I know we've had a little bit of a sabbatical there. Some people had kids, got new jobs, all kind of stuff, and it slowed us down for some reason, but we're back at it, and I'm excited. This year's going to be a little bit different, so I'm excited for what this looks like. So let's just jump right into it. So Pastor Cathy, I'm gonna throw it over to you first. Let's look at the things we're going to leave behind before we go into 2023, things that we want to leave in 2022 and we don't want to take into 2023. Where's your head at?
Man, I think so often we neglect our health. It looks like our mental health, our physical health, emotional, spiritual, social, even our financial health. I think we have to start taking better care of ourselves. If we're going to be fruitful in the kingdom of God, we do have to take care of our own selves. It's like when you're flying in the airplane and they tell you that the mask is going to fall down and out of the ceiling or whatever, and you put it on your kid, but they tell you put it on yourself first. And I think we have to start taking better care of our health if we're going to be effective in the kingdom of God.
I like that. Brother Copeland, jumping into us. I know we just talked about health here, but what are you thinking?
Well, one of the things I was thinking about is grudges. I know that it's one of the things that we as humans have a problem with. We enjoy going back and looking at the ways that we feel like we've been mistreated and misused and hurt and all of those things. And I think a new year is a good time to just go ahead and lay that aside and set it aside and just move on. Let it go, as the old song might say. Forgive people. It's going to be okay. There's not really much you can do about it anyway, so you might as well wipe the slate clean and just move on.
I like that. And I think an interesting that overlaps with the two y'all, we're talking about mental health here and people that are holding on to things, and your mental health along with grudges here and not forgiving people will really affect that. But Cathy, I know you just said your health, your mental health. What else are you thinking? I know we got a little bit of a list here. Let's go down it.
Well, I'm like Brother Copeland here. I think we have to say goodbye to toxic relationships. These one-sided friendships that we have, one-sided relationships, where if you're the only one texting, you might want to consider who you're texting. If you're the only one who ever reaches out, we got to say goodbye to fair-weather friends, situational friendships. I'm okay saying goodbye. And sometimes we have to be okay to say goodbye, especially to toxic relationships.
I like that. So let me ask you, so when you have somebody who's like that, that person that just won't text, won't check on you first, do you just kind of stop? Or what do you do?
I think, I don't know that you ever stop reaching out to people that you truly love and care about, but I think to let go of a toxic relationship, it can no longer define me. I may still reach out on occasion and check on an individual, but it can't define, and I can't derive my happiness on that individual responding to me or checking on me. I think we should always be a Christian and check on our friends and family and what have you. But I do feel like it has to stop defining who we are.
I like that, because we've always heard that saying, show me your three or five closest friends and I'll tell you the kind of person that you are. So when you don't have that toxic person around you anymore, you kind of redefine yourself in a way.
It's true.
So Brother Copeland, as we're jumping into this, what's next on your list here? What are we leaving behind?
I think next on my list would be disappointments. There are things in all of our lives, things that we wish we could have done. We can look back on our list of New Year's resolutions from 2022, and it, for most of us, probably reads like a litany of failures. we didn't lose that 40 pounds we were going to lose, and we didn't eat better, and we didn't learn a new language, and we didn't exercise every day, and we didn't do all that stuff. But a new year is a chance to just, again, wipe the slate clean and say, I'm going to leave the disappointments from last year behind. I'm going to step forward into a new year, and all I can do is start where I am. If you want to lose 40 pounds, you can't start 35 pounds ago. You've got to start where you are. If you want to pray an hour a day, all you can do is start from where you are. If you want to read your Bible every day, all you can do is start from where you are. Leave whatever history of failure. It's just what I always do. I always mess up. I always get started. I always start strong. Leave that behind. Go ahead and do it again. Give it another shot. Get up and move into 2023 with a fresh outlook and a fresh perspective on your life.
I like that. I like that phrase you said, the history of failure there. It sounds like a book title. I feel like many of us could write quite a few chapters in that book there, though. But I do like the idea of jumping past the disappointments of the previous year and not giving up necessarily on the things that we didn't accomplish over the year. Because so many times you're right, especially when we're looking at, like what Brother Kathy, like you said, with health and things like that, maybe we didn't accomplish the things we necessarily set out to start with. But that doesn't mean to give up. That means just to wipe that slate clean and keep moving. So Pastor Kathy, what's next on your list?
You know, I discovered a phrase that I didn't realize it had a name. It's called doom scrolling, apparently. I didn't know it had a name. But doom scrolling is where you go to Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, what have you, and you scroll through and you read all the bad news, and you believe it's the end of the world. You know, Roe v. Wade gets overturned, so liberals believe it's the end of the world. Donald Trump doesn't get reelected. Conservatives believe it's the end of the world. Not everything is the end of the world. There are things that are going to take place, and we're just going to sail right past it. It affects us. It affects how we walk and talk, but it's not the end of the world. And, you know, elections, the economy, these kind of things, we don't have to let that be the end of the world for us. There's a difference between staying informed and driving yourself crazy. And I think this modern society has to learn the difference. I'm guilty of it. Yeah, we all kind of are. And I think it would help us if we would stop, quote, doom scrolling, because I think that it would make us happier people.
So let me ask you, that's such a, I like the phrase for one, it seems so dramatic, a doom scrolling, I like that. Why do you think that's such an attractive thing for people? Like, why do we look for that? Because everywhere we go, Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, we're looking for the bad news. Why is that?
We love misery, man. It's like you're going by the car wreck. We rubberneck. We rubberneck with our friends, our neighbors, the political arena, sports arena. We're all guilty of rubbernecking. We want to see how bad the wreck really is. And I think that's what we do. We kind of try to look over. We like the bad news, I think, a little too much.
Yeah, that's fair. Yeah, I like the idea of rubbernecking on, like, while scrolling Facebook here. It's two problems at once. You're looking at doom, and then you're creating doom on the roads there.
Exactly.
Brother Copeland, what about you? What's next on your list?
Well, I also have a new phrase that I learned recently. Because I'm old, all phrases are new to me. It's ghosting. And it is when you have a fear of just having an uncomfortable conversation with someone, and so you just start avoiding them. I think that we, again, speaking as an old man, many of us need to grow up and be willing to sit down across from someone and explain to them how we feel, explain to them how the way they are acting makes us feel, and explain to them why we feel that way. And even if it hurts, even if you don't like it, even if it seems like you may have trouble with it eventually, I think that we do have to be willing to step out and willing to make a decision to just say the things, say the hard things, do the hard things.
Yeah, no, I see where you're at. So really, the ghosting, things like that, it's about avoiding difficult conversations.
Right.
which I think is something that's, it's funny when you come into the new year, you start recapping everything that happened the previous year. And a lot of people end up getting depressed or mad or things like that. Or they're reminded again of those people that maybe did them wrong, back to your grudges,
right?
Or the health or the different things that are going on. And they just don't want to face, I think, difficult conversations and then difficult situations that just, it's not uncomfortable. We don't want to deal with it. How do you think someone could fix that going into the next year? How do you get past that?
Getting past the fear of rejection in that way, getting past the fear of, because it is in some ways very emotionally draining, and you have to expose yourself and you have to sit down with someone and say, these are the ways in which you have hurt me, and these are my weaknesses, because this got to me and I didn't like that it did. And so I am in explaining to you why that hurt me. I'm exposing a weakness in myself. And so I think that, honestly, I think you just have to do it. I don't know that there's a magic pill, a magic formula, some sort of an incantation that you could say to make it better. But I do think that it has to be done.
Yeah, I like that. And my brain goes to also emotional. What's more draining for you, that conversation or living for 6 months not having that conversation?
Right.
Having that 15 minutes of uncomfortable conversation about something, or sitting there for a year and then looking back at it again and being drained just partially for that full year.
And generally, the conversation is not as bad as you think it's going to be. But even if it is exactly as bad as you think it's going to be, it still needs to happen.
Mm-hmm. No, that's fair. I like that. But Kathy, what's next on your list?
I think it's one I struggle with probably daily. And so this might be only for me, and nobody else in the world needs it except for me. But comparison.
Hmm.
We're comparing ourselves to our neighbors. We're comparing ourselves to other ministers. We compare ourselves to other drivers on the road that have a better car than we do. Whatever it may be. Comparisons are crippling us. We're all on a different path. And we should focus on our own path. My promise is mine. Your promise is yours. It may be that I get to do something very small and you get to do something very cool. But maybe I get called to do something small. That doesn't mean God loves me less. We have to stop comparing ourselves among ourselves, because this makes us miserable and it makes us unproductive. If you do what God's called you to do, that should be your reward. I heard one man say it, if you can't be something where God planted you, you're never going to be something where you're wanting to go.
Mm-hmm.
It's true that churches vary in size. We happen to live in the town with one of the largest churches in the world, pastored by Joel Osteen,
mm-hmm.
over in downtown Houston area. He has, 30,000 people? Mm-hmm. We're over here with 230. And so you start looking at it and saying, listen, I can't expect my church to feed 1 million people, but my church can feed 1,000 people at our food drive. And so you have to say, accept who you are and say, this is who we are. It's okay. It's okay if we only reach out a little bit, but we have to do what we are capable of doing at the size that we are, the outreach that we are. To try to do more than what you are makes you ineffective. So I think the comparing churches to other churches can be extremely dangerous, because, again, it's just like your personal mission. God's called you to do a thing, whatever that thing may be. We can't build orphanages in Cambodia, but Brother Osteen can. And we're going to affect what we can affect here. And I think the sooner we come to grips with that, I think the better off we'll be. Right.
So let me ask you, I'll throw you a curveball here. Do you think that is why sometimes people are jumping around between churches? Like, we move between churches because we're looking at what they're doing and we think we should be doing more, so we go over there.
You know, that's entirely possible. I never really thought of it that way before, but that is entirely possible, because we look at it and say, well, they have this program that my current church doesn't have. I'm of the opinion, instead of changing churches to go find that program, why don't you tell your pastor your heart, what you have a desire to do, and let's see if we can build that where you currently go to church. It may be the linchpin that's missing to catapult your church into great revival, but you're wanting to go somewhere where it's already built instead of taking the time, the work, and the effort to build it yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And I think a godly, tuned-in pastor would be okay with that, especially for a faithful member.
Mm-hmm. So, Brother Copeland, what's next on your list?
I think the thing on my list, again, probably affects me a lot, is fear of failure. Mm. There is something about, as the old Nike slogan says, just do it. As I talked about with the uncomfortable conversations, the worst that can happen probably is not going to happen, but you might fail. In fact, most businesses fail.
Mm-hmm.
Most efforts fail. Most of the things that you are going to try to do in your life, you are not going to succeed at. But it's okay.
Hmm.
You can get up and you can learn from it and you can try again. What you will never learn from is just not doing anything.
Mm-hmm.
What you will never grow from is just not doing anything. Give it a shot. Work on it. Go. As Brother Kathy said, if you feel like you want to have a ministry that you want to start, go talk to somebody about it. Do something. Work in a food drive. Work at a toy drive. Work at a food bank. Volunteer somewhere. Pick up an instrument. Take voice lessons. I mean, just do something besides sit where you are, because the one thing that is for certain in 2024, you will be 1 year older. And you can either be a year older with a new skill, or you can be a year older without a new skill.
Mm-hmm.
They say 90% of second-time businesses succeed,
mm-hmm.
but only like 10% of the people who failed the first time are willing to do it a second time.
So, Brother Copeland, fear of failure, that's a big one. That's a huge one. And people are going to fail.
Right.
So I know we're going to talk about some of the positive stuff that we're bringing into a little bit later on. But let me ask you, how can we mitigate that? What can we do better? How can we not fail as much or not fail as hard, maybe?
I think that people have a tendency to, first of all, not have a clear vision of what success looks like.
Mm.
And so they think that when they start their business, when they start a language program, when they've decided to learn to play the piano, they're going to be a concert pianist in about 6 months. They'll just know how to do it. They'll just sit down and somehow magically the knowledge will pour in from on high. And it doesn't happen. And you get discouraged because when you don't have a clear idea of what the end is, you don't really know how to take those small steps to make that thing come to fruition. And so we want to do everything. And so we end up attempting to do everything, and then we fail in the midst of doing everything. And it seems like if whatever your goal is, make it a specific, achievable, measurable goal. You write that goal down, and then you break that goal into steps. What can I do today to make myself one step closer to this goal? Where am I going to be in 1 month from right now?
So, Pastor Kathy, let me pass it back over to you. What's next on your list?
For me, this one's going to be controversial, I think, for people listening maybe. But it's chasing people who don't want to be caught.
Hmm.
It's trying to force people to fit into your group. It's forcing people to fit into your mold. It's chasing after people who clearly have shown no interest in being involved in what we do, what you do. And chasing after those kind of people, it exhausts you for one. Mm-hmm. And for two, it takes you away from people who actually want to be a part of what it is that you are trying to do. It happens. People chase after love interests that want no part of them, you know, and they live their life frustrated because they're trying to force something but isn't there. As pastors, as ministry, there are people who simply don't want to be a part of your church. And you spend time chasing after them to try to convince them that what you're doing here is good. And then there are great people who are driving by who lose your focus. And you don't see them because you're chasing after the two who doesn't want to be a part, and you're missing the 20 that do want to be a part of what you're doing. And for me, I think it's another personal one for me. I think we do this when we over-explain ourselves, and we over-explain what we're trying to do. We chase people who have shown that they just don't want to be caught. They don't want to be a part of what you're doing. I think you have to wave goodbye to them in 2023 and say, hey, if you decide to come and be a part of us, that's great. But I'm losing valuable energy, sleep, time, and effort chasing after people who don't really buy into what we're trying to do.
I like that. I like that a lot. And that kind of ties into one of your earlier points there about toxic relationships and things like that.
Absolutely.
Because maybe the reason you had a toxic relationship is because you're trying to pursue something that never should have been there.
Exactly. Exactly. That is absolutely true.
You know, Pastor Kathy, you make a great point there. And these have been a lot of great points of things that we want to leave behind in 2022. Now, we're going to look ahead into 2023.